Over the past years, when my grandson came to visit, we started the habit of asking each other questions. Now, he didn't grow up in the church. He hasn't been to services other than a handful of times when he visited me. But he liked to ask all kinds of questions. And since he knew I read the Bible quite a bit, he would ask me a lot of Bible questions. And one of the favorite things we did, especially when he was younger, 4 and 5, 6, we would sit on 2 couches in the living room facing each other, and we'd just throw a ball back and forth, trying to catch it with either hand, eye and hand coordination. And he said, "Can I ask some questions?" So he started this habit, and we did it over the years. Well, recently, my grandson now is 16, and he stopped about at the age of 12. You know how teenagers are. They sometimes drop back from that. But he popped a question in the last month. We were sitting there visiting with him, and he says, "How close do you think we are to the Great Tribulation?" Whoa, I haven't heard anything out of his mouth like that for years. And so considering his age, I thought about it. And I'll share my comments with you in a minute. Let's begin today in Daniel 11, verse 40. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. Because here we're given the time frame of when certain events will take place. Let's read here as just an idea of the time frame Daniel is speaking about. Daniel 11, verse 40. "And the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through." So here a future war is mentioned, and we know that only God can foretell events. And here he reveals some end time happenings that are on the horizon. Let me give you Webster's dictionary definition of the word prophecy. They have 3 different sentences here. I'll give you all 3. First one is, prophecy is an inspired utterance of a prophet. So we think about Ezekiel and Isaiah and those that God raised up. The second definition is, prophecy is the function or vocation of a prophet, specifically the inspired declaration of divine will and purpose. And thirdly, prophecy is a prediction of something to come. So when we look at the Bible and we think about all that's written in there, many of God's prophecies are not fulfilled yet. But here we see that Daniel was referring to the end time. So I wanted to see that time frame. Now let's go down a few verses here to chapter 12 and verse 1. "At that time," so we know it's the end time here, "at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book." Brethren, when God gives a prophecy, we know it will take place. We don't have to doubt it for a minute. We know that he cannot lie. So everything that's mentioned by God will unfold exactly as he says. And here we're told quite a bit here in verse 1. "Brethren, we all want to be delivered from the terrible times that are coming. We're told that they're the worst ever in human history. When we think about items like hunger, you know, we see some of that in the world, but it's going to get worse. When we consider disease and how bad that is, or earthquakes, war beyond what it is today, and deception, those things continue to grow. So is our name written in the book of life, as it mentions here? Because that is required, as it says, for deliverance. We have to make sure that we're factoring that in. Let's go down to verse 7 here in Daniel 12. He says, "Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished." Brethren, think about that. The words in this verse should make every one of us stop and think. Some of the events on the horizon are shocking. And are we willing to go forward when these events take place? Will we be ready? Because we have to follow Jesus Christ when these persecutions continue to grow, when they come on the scene. My title today is, Are We Ready for End Time Prophecy to Be Fulfilled? Will you be ready? Will I be ready? And over the decades, I've heard many members say, we want to hear more sermons on prophecy. We want to understand prophecy better. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there is a bigger aspect to future events than just knowing the facts. Daniel didn't have all the facts. He wondered about it, didn't he? Let's look at verse 8. See what it says regarding that. Daniel 12, verse 8. Although I heard, I did not understand. So here's one of God's prophets that didn't fully grasp what was going on, what was said to him. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And so as Daniel, we may question certain events that we see in the Bible, things that are on the horizon. We may ask, how close is the Great Tribulation? Or where's the place of safety going to be? Or will my unconverted mate be in the place of safety? Will my grandchildren who don't come to church, will they be in the place of safety? We could have all these questions. Well, let's look at verse 13. You know, Daniel's told, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. So Daniel wanted to understand more, but he was told, wait. In other words, wait till you're resurrected. Then you'll see the answers to these things. And so my focus today is for each of us to consider, when prophecy unfolds, will we be prepared for it? Because we know it's coming, don't we? It's just a matter of, will we have our names written in the book of life, as it was mentioned here? So in talking to my grandson, I told him we don't know all the details. I said there are things that we're told that we can grasp from the Bible, that we can, you know that it will be terrible times. We can know the length, you know, 3.5 years or times and half a time. And we're told various things like that. We know it's getting closer. But there's also an action step in here because we need to be in the book of life. We need to be preparing for these things. And I mentioned all this to him and he understood. He goes, oh, that makes sense. But I think he had been seeing something in the news or one of his friends was talking about crazy things happening in the government. And it really made him stop and think. And we need to think as well. Because we're told to prepare for those events that are coming. And whether we're living during Daniel's time, during Christ's time, or at this time, or any other time for that matter, that we need to think about whether our master potter is being allowed in our lives to shape us. Once he extends his invitation to us, once he calls us, are we willing to grow in that? Are we willing to prepare so that we can be delivered from the events on the horizon? Verse 4, here in Daniel 12, he says, But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Brethren, travel has been so much more hectic in a sense, and over the last 50 years, it's grown in so many ways. You think about those in business. There's international companies that people just fly here and there all over. And even people vacation, like I'm going over to the Mediterranean, or I'm going down to Africa to do this. People travel quite easily. And then it mentions here knowledge as well. So what about knowledge? Let me read you an article in News and Science. This was written by Peter Lundell, and this was back in March of 2014. The entitlement of this article was The Knowledge Doubling Curve. And he says, back in the 1980s, Mr. Fuller created the knowledge doubling curve. Until 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. So even back then, we could have thought, well, that's a lot. You know, from this period to 100 years later, it doubled. That's quite a difference. But he says, by the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, things are not as simple, as different types of knowledge have different rates of growth. But on average, human knowledge is doubling every 13 months. God says knowledge would increase. Think about this. Now, if we jump forward 6 years from when this was written back in 2014, we come to 2020, last year. Here's another article that was authored by Amitabh Ray, and the name of his article was Human Knowledge is Doubling Every 12 Hours. Now, I don't have any way to prove that, but we know it's continuing to increase. And that's what God prophesied, that it would increase at the time of the end. So we have to think about how knowledge is exploding, and God gave us certain events that we know are coming, and this is one of the signs of that. Now, if I think about my grandmother, she was called into the faith back in the 1950s, and she's now in her grave, and she's waiting until her resurrection, just like Daniel. He was told to wait, but she still had to grow during her lifetime. So it really doesn't matter whether we're in the tribulation or at a time period when there wasn't one. We still need to develop. We still need to wait. They need to wait for their resurrection just as we all will. So the question is how are we doing with the knowledge that we've been given? Are we taking it in? Are we thinking about it? Are we developing so that we're ready for the end time events that are coming? I'll just mention again at the end of verse 7, we're told the tribulation will be 3.5 years. And then it says, when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things will be finished. Will we have the stamina to continue to run our race? Because it sounds like there's some tough times on the horizon, even for you and I. Now, if we compare this to a physical race, we know that we can set our mind to win, you know. But if we haven't done our workouts, if we haven't gone out there and done our training, it doesn't matter how hard we say we're going to win, most likely we're not going to do well, are we? And if we compare that to a spiritual race, how ready will we be when tough times really hit? If we haven't done our homework, if we haven't done our training. Now, yesterday, when I was visiting Ken Prickett in the hospital, he made several comments, and I asked him if I could share them, and he said yes. Now, this was before his surgery, so he's laying on the table, and he's having severe pains every minute or two, and literally to the point tears would run out of his eyes, his face would turn all red, and so these pains would come in his chest, and in between that, he told me to do this. He said, look right at the brethren and tell them, we don't know when our lives will end. I mean, this is coming from a man that was thinking those very thoughts. He goes, we don't know. And he said, we must use our time to serve. We must use it to grow while we have the opportunity. And he continued on with that theme. But at that point, Ken Prickett didn't know if he would live another day, because he knew something was wrong. And if he didn't get help in the right way, he didn't know. But that's true of all of us, isn't it? We don't know if we will have life tomorrow, next month, next year. And so God is asking us to get ready for events, and whether we're alive at that time or not, we still have to prepare as though it was on the horizon for us. Now, recently I sent out a prayer request for a young lady, Cassie, you know, one of the members here. It's her sister's granddaughter. And we've read in the past where she had a car accident, a terrible car accident, where many of the bones in her face were all broken. And now she's lost an eye. She has no vision in that eye. She has brain damage. And from what I've heard, you know, she has the mind of a three-year-old. Just prior to that accident, Cassie had no idea what the next day would bring. And we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so therefore, as God reminds us, we have to really think about what we're doing each day. Are we redeeming the time? Are we making the most of every day? Whether it's Ken Prickett, whether it's Cassie, whether it's us, we should all be having these thoughts. Because every day of life is a gift from God. Every single day. So today, this Sabbath day, it's an honor to be here to worship the one who gave us life, but he can also take it at any time. He knows what's best. And we must get ready for all that God said is coming. And even if it doesn't come during our lifetime, it's okay, because we still have to build the character to be in the kingdom. We have to have the character to get through the troubles and trials. Whether it's a great tribulation or something else, we still have to get through that. And so more details are given regarding the end time in the New Testament. Let's look at a few other statements about troublous times before Christ's return. Please go with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Many times we ask the same questions as those during Jesus Christ's time. You know, people want details. And so here Jesus shared some important things, and we read earlier in Daniel about how we have to really be thinking about the book of life, whether our names are going to remain in that book. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So here Jesus mentions events that will take place prior to the Great Tribulation. If we read down through this chapter, he mentions the first four seals, things that have been going on since the time of Christ, but will continue to grow and get worse and worse. And so he mentions deception, war, hunger and sickness, earthquakes. All these things will grow worse as we come upon closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Let's skip down to verse 11, because he mentions all those events, but here's what he says next. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now we could think, oh, this is referring to the world. They will be deceived. But let's skip over to verse 24 to see that this could be referring to us becoming deceived. Chapter 24, verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Brethren, many of those that we've walked with over the years have stopped running their race. It's amazing that if we let down, we can become deceived, as it says here, we're reminded of it by Christ, his words, that we really have to be careful. Verse 13. So here's the key. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Brethren, we're reminded not to give up on our calling. And so endurance is a requirement by God to be in his kingdom. He's asking all of us to do that. In verse 21, it says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Brethren, when we think about some of these prophecies, they're really sad, aren't they? Of conditions and how bad they will be. But there's a reason God allows them. Think about the amount of suffering and death during the Great Tribulation. But those events must happen for God's kingdom to come on the scene. This is what God has declared. And so as we think about that, it's important for us to consider these warnings. If God didn't return and put a stop to war, if he didn't put an end to the corruption, the pollution, and all those other things that are going to grow worse, we're told in the following verses that everyone will perish. Not just some, not just all of Asia, no, everyone. God has to come back and change everything in a major way. And so Jesus shares this parable with us, and it's about the end time. We need to be aware of it. And as we think about with the four seasons, and as we come into the spring every year and you look out, and if you have trees where the leaves have fallen off, and in the spring how they start to bud, you do know that the next season is coming, that summer's on the horizon. Those little signs tell us what's happening. Well, Jesus gives us a parable here. Let's go to verse 32, right here in the same chapter. Verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Brethren, we have to consider, are we watching? Are we looking to see what Jesus Christ is warning us about? Because it's important for us to keep our focus, not lose sight, not drift away. And as we watch world events, the signs of the times will give us clues to what Jesus Christ has predicted. For example, I read an article in Newsweek. This was written by Jenny Fink, and it was just on the first of this month. Here's what the title was. China state media says country must prepare for nuclear war with the U.S. after Biden asked for the COVID probe. And I go, what? They're going to declare for nuclear, prepare for war because we're asking to probe something? I mean, this is the mindset of the world we live in. And as you look at these times and you think what people are actually willing to do because of some statement. Now, the editor of the Chinese state-run newspaper wrote this. He says, we must be prepared for an intense showdown between China and the U.S. the number of China's nuclear warheads must reach the quantity that makes U.S. elites shiver should they entertain the idea of engaging in a military confrontation with China. So this is the mindset of man apart from God. That's where everything's headed. You know, as the world pulls away from God, as they say, we want to do what's right in our eyes, these things are going to worsen. And so the news in the world is revealing to where we're headed, where we're at in these last days. Another article just at the end of May, May 27th, in the Israel National News, it stated this: while the international community remains officially wedded to the idea of a two-state solution as a way out of the current Middle East impasse, Hamas continues to insist that the only solution it has in mind is making Palestine Jew-free. In other words, we're going to get rid of all of them. And so you look at the mindset there. We know from Bible prophecy, those will continue to grow worse. I'll mention one other article, just showing little tidbits of articles that show the signs of the times, where things are headed. This article was mentioned in our Prophetic Times yesterday. I think it was from the Israel National News as well. But it stated that nuclear weapons inspectors in Iran have found traces of uranium at several undeclared sites. So where uranium shouldn't be, they're finding it. And of course, they say, Iran is saying, we don't know how that happened, but we know they do. And so when you see the mind of man and how things are being lied about and people are stockpiling, can you imagine Iran with a nuclear weapon? But that's headed that way. Let's continue here in verse 36 in Matthew 24, because Christ gives us some more words which tell us the action steps we need to take so that we are ready for these end time events. Verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now we can stop for a moment there and think, now we know things are getting worse, but we have pretty good lives. We still have food. People are still getting married. People are still graduating. And so it was like that at the end time. Verse 39, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be a total shock to the world and to us if we're not preparing, if we're not taking the steps of what Jesus Christ tells us here so that we can have our names written in the book of life. So Christ will return, but we're not told exactly when. Therefore, we can't put off what we're told to do, because if that came sooner than later, what if we're not ready? Would we want to go through the worst times in human history, witness death and destruction unlike we've ever seen, and put ourselves through that because we weren't willing to do what Christ said? It's like an athlete, if they're gifted in long distance running, but they never train. They have no chance to be in the Olympics, do they? And in a similar way, we've been spiritually gifted to be called into a race. We've been offered by God to have help. He's willing to forgive us when we fall down. And he's encouraging us to keep running. And so this is what we need to do. Our crown is awaiting for those who finish, but some requirements are given to us. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So brethren, are we willing to watch? I mean, we can just read right over this. Oh, it says to watch. Okay, I got my eyes open. I'm looking here and there. But we have to watch world events that declare the time is short. You know, articles such as I just read, but so many more, to see where we are on the horizon. But we need to not only watch world events, we need to watch ourselves. We need to self-examine and evaluate ourselves to see where we stand before God. Because we may know everything that's happening in the world, but if we're not ready for when he comes, what good is it? So we have to watch in both ways. Verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready. So this is a part of the watching. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, once again, we could say this applies to the world, but I think it applies to us. Because the world has no clue of these things, in the sense that They're going about their daily business. They haven't been invited by God, called by God. A lot of people don't even believe in Christ or know about a resurrection. We have that knowledge, but God is saying this could happen and we don't expect it because we get caught up in life. We get distracted. We let down. Verse 45, we're given another few statements here that are so important and apply to us. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? So we could apply this to ourselves. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So brethren, each of us have the potential, just as this faithful servant, to give to someone, to help someone, to serve them, to support them, to pray for them. This is what we're asked to do in preparation to be the proper servants of God. He's left this in our hands, and the opportunities in this life are nothing compared to our future. And whatever positions in this life we're given, God is saying we must really look forward to our future positions. This is a training ground to get ready to use the talents that we've been given. And so are we so doing, as it says here? You know, what have we done in the last year where God say, well done? Or would he say, I don't know you? Because it can go either way, and it's our choice. Now, in chapter 25, we have the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. We could fill in another few names there. The wise and foolish church members, the wise saints, or the foolish children of God. I mean, it's applying to us, and it's our choice, both adults and children, to really stop and think about how we're living our lives. So I'll just refer to the teens for a moment and the younger children. And listen to this statement. How you apply yourself now will have a direct impact on your choices later. So if I give you an example of that, if you do well in school, you know, say junior high and high school, and you get good grades, look at how that will have an impact later where you go to college, if you'll go to college, what college will accept you, whether they'll give you, you know, free scholarship, all those things because of choices now. So you have the chance to make good choices now as well. And we notice in the parable that both the wise and foolish slept, just as we all have. We've all fallen short. But God is saying it's time to wake up. And just like the wise, they did wake up. And we're asked to do that. And we're invited to do that and fill our lamps with oil, picturing God's Holy Spirit, to really be on fire and let God stir up his spirit in us so we can do his work. Let's go to verse 8 here in Matthew 25. Just catching a few comments regarding the wise and the foolish. Verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, so notice that word ready again. God is inviting us to get ready. Get ready for the kingdom of God. It is coming. It is at hand. And it doesn't matter how many years away it is. It takes time. And we only have this lifetime to get ready. And we don't know how long this life will last. And so those who were ready went in with him to the wedding and the door was shut. So think about the foolish that didn't prepare. They weren't ready. They don't get invited into the kingdom. And so you think about in a physical race, how sad it is when people get disqualified as they're running a race. You know, maybe they get out of their lane, or you could say getting out of line, so to speak, like we as Christians in our spiritual race. And if we do that and don't obey the rules, whether it's in the physical race or in God's race, he says, obey my laws, or you can be disqualified. But we all hope to receive a prize. That's our goal, to receive the crown of life. That's what God is inviting us to have a part of. And we have to ask ourselves, are we following the rules of the race? Are we following God's laws? Verse 11, afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Can you imagine if God said that to you, to me? I mean, we would be so shocked. Like, how did I do that? How did I miss out? Why did I stop living by God's laws or let down. Verse 13, watch therefore. So there's the reminder again. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So are we comparing world events to God's promises? And if so, are we transforming our lives so we're ready for those promises to be fulfilled? Because we can watch all the news in the world, which God tells us to watch. But if we aren't doing the other part of improving our lives and growing, then we will not be ready. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now this reminds me so much, saying kingdom of heaven here, reminds me of Jesus Christ. And now he sits at the right hand of God. He's at a far distance away, but he's given us talents. He's given us opportunities to grow and prepare for that kingdom so we can be invited into it. And so we could say the talents that God is offering us, blessings and opportunities. Have we used them? Have we grown what God has offered us? Because he gives us all we have, and even if we're poor, we can still give. We may not be able to give as much. If we're handicapped, we can still serve, maybe in a different way. So God says, you're not limited. With his power, we can do those things. And we should ask ourselves, how are we progressing? How are we doing in this walk that God has invited us into? Now, I spoke last time about spiritual gifts. I talked about why those gifts are given, gifts from God, and how we're commanded to use those gifts. And so we can add this into that. Will we be found so doing, using our gifts, serving the people, growing, getting ready for the kingdom of God, building our relationship with our Father in Jesus Christ and with our fellow brethren? Brethren, we're given different blessings. We're given different talents and opportunities, but it's all about using God's strength. We need to develop what he has shared with us. So it's not by our own might. It's with God's power. And notice the outcome of those servants who use their talents. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So the same statement is made to the individual who was given 2 talents. So if we develop what God has given us, whether it's the 5 or the 2, God will bless us. He's asking us to use his Spirit, the life he's given us, to make it grow and develop so that he can continue to work with us. But we notice here that there are those who don't put forth the effort. And when we do that, our talent, their talent, will be taken away. So we have to be careful that we don't forget these points. Verse 30. Because those individuals here in verse 30 will be cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But brethren, we can't ignore the fact that we will be judged for our choices, our decisions, whether good or bad. So we must choose those items that lead to life, those items that will enable us to continue to wear and have the crown of life. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. We'll read a few verses here. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so this is the inheritance that God wants to give to everyone. Not everyone has been called yet. He will do that in due time. But it's only going to be given to those that persevere. As we read earlier, those who endure. And Jesus goes on to explain the various ways in which he judges us. He tells us, you know, are you willing to feed the hungry? Are you willing to clothe someone? Are you willing to visit those in prison or visit the widows? All those things were taught in the Bible. That's what we're going to be judged on. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to serve just like our master did. We need to love just like he did. I mean, the tremendous love to the point that we're willing to lay down our lives for one another. I don't know that we're there yet. I don't know that I am. And maybe you feel the same way, but God is saying, grow to that point where we can literally lay down our life. And during the Great Tribulation, we may be asked to do that. So we have to consider that. Let me just refer to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. You can jot that down. But here, Paul writes about the attitude of people prior to Christ's return. So we're witnessing some of this as we look at the world around us. And we're seeing more and more day by day. But here's what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And then he goes on to tell about those attitudes and actions. You know, people are proud and boasters, lovers of self. And a long list of things are given. And we're seeing more and more of that. But I'll just comment on verse 7. Because of those individuals, and it could have referred to us as well, it says they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So look at knowledge in the world is increasing. So these people, and it could be us too, that we're gaining all this knowledge. But is it godly knowledge? Can we carry it forward into the kingdom? And so whether we're an adult or a child, we need to develop our knowledge of the truth. We need to be studying our Bibles. We need to be thinking about what God is teaching us. You know, just as we observe the Sabbath, and God tells us it's not a burden. Now, as a little kid, I kind of thought it was. But as I grew up and I understood the Sabbath and how we're to delight in it and the bigger meaning of it, I realized it wasn't a burden. And how God's Sabbath gives us wisdom. It gives us encouragement. Well, the same is true in studying our Bibles. We shouldn't look at that as a burden. But God wants us to learn from His words. If you think about what John 6:63 says, it says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That is what God is referring to here in our Bible, His words. They are of a spiritual background here, and they will give us life, eternal life, if we read them, if we follow them. And so we can walk out of here today and not change a thing, which sometimes we do. Or we can choose to invite God to help us to mature to a deeper level so that we are ready for the Great Tribulation, so we are ready for the return of Christ and all those events that will take place on the horizon. You know, in Psalm 119, verse 105, I'll just read it. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, for those of you who have stepped outside at night without a flashlight, without the moon shining bright or the stars, it's very hard to see where you're going. It's easy to stumble and fall down. But God is telling us, walking through this world is similar, but with His word, it shows us the path. It shows us where we're going so that we don't have to stumble, that we know exactly where God is leading us, why we were created, what our purpose for being is. And so our Father desires to give us the kingdom, and if we're not studying, we won't be ready for the times ahead. We will not be ready for the Great Tribulation, that's for sure, if we're not drawing closer to God. So we should ask ourselves, is there something in our life that won't be allowed into the kingdom? Because why are we hanging on to something that if we do hold on to that, God won't allow us into the kingdom? We've got to let go of that baggage, those sins, whatever it might be. Some of our habits are deeply entrenched, and they're very hard to break. But we know with God's Spirit, with God's help, we can overcome them. That's why Paul reminded the Philippians in Philippians 4:13, he says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We need to memorize that. We need to remember that because on our own, we're not going to be in the kingdom. It's impossible. But through God's grace, through His love, He's willing to help us to get there. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Scripture that we know well. Luke 21, verse 36. So, brethren, we see from the scriptures that God promises a time of great tribulation, but He can count us worthy to escape it. Don't we all want that? To be able, if we're alive then, or what other trials come up before then, we want to be able to escape those. We don't want to have to go through it. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch, therefore. So this keeps coming up. And we see the expanded meaning of watch. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So in this parallel account, we're reminded again to watch. God wants his children to be aware of what's around us and what's going on in us. Like that inward carnal man that God says, put that out, bury that. We buried it at baptism, but it can come back. It can resurrect its ugly head, so to speak. And God is asking us to be ready, to be so doing so that we're counted worthy to escape these things, so that we can stand before the judgment seat and God can say, well done, instead of, I don't know you. It's really up to us. Let's look at a positive prophecy then, a future time unlike any other. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7, verse 21. So a lot of times, prophecies like the Great Tribulation really stand out, but we need to focus on the ones beyond that. The promise of the return of our Lord and Savior and the changes that he will make. But if we don't get through the Great Tribulation, if we're not ready for that, then we're not ready for Christ's return as well. So we need to look forward to that millennial time and the changes in the nature of the animals and the healing of all those that are sick and a government of peace when Jesus Christ rules. Daniel 7, verse 21. It says, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Wow. This is speaking to us, that God wants us to be in his kingdom, that he's revealed future times that he's told us about, that what he wants to happen here. And so we are mentioned in some of these, and we really need to listen up. If we're not close to God, then we will not make it in the times ahead. Are we willing to die for God's way? You know, like Daniel, he was willing to be thrown to the lions. His three friends were willing to be thrown into the fire. Are we so deeply committed to God's way that we're willing to say, it doesn't matter what you will do to this physical body. God can resurrect me. God can make me his child. And so some of the changes we need to make will be harder than just losing weight. And you know how hard that can be. It'll be harder than exercising. I mean, I struggle trying to get a little bit of exercise in every day. It's hard. But that's nothing compared to what's coming. It'll be more difficult than trying to connect to the Bible study, which a lot of people don't do, or to visit a widow, which isn't always, we don't have the time, we think, and or to play our video game. I mean, what God is asking us to do is way beyond these things that we go, oh, I don't know if I can quite do that, but there's bigger steps that we need to take. Verse 26, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Brethren, if we really want what God offers, then we have some difficult choices to make. We have to stop and think about what God would want us to let go of and what he would want us to take on or improve in and grow in so that we can be a part of the family of God. And those choices are tough because it goes against our human nature. It goes against what I want and what you want. But God is saying we need to surrender to him. We need to allow him to work in us fully. You know, when we look at all the prophecies in the Bible, we're told that they will all turn out for the good, even the Great Tribulation. Now, that's hard to imagine in our physical minds, but there's many people that never chose God's way. And if they didn't see maybe how man's government apart from God will turn out, they may never really walk that way. So God will allow many to go through those things to wake them up and give them hopefully a better chance of choosing a way of life that will last forever. Man needs to recognize what Satan is responsible for, that he is the God of this age. And so God will work everything out for the good, but it doesn't mean our lives are very easy in the meantime. So what are we willing to change? What are you willing to change? So that we can be pleasing to God, so that we can be prepared for the times ahead. And it might be hard to change our bad habits, but it will be easier than going through the Great Tribulation. We don't want to have to go where we can't even figure out how to get the next little slice of bread. the only thing we've had in a week, or how to feed our kids who are hungry. We don't want to go through that. So we need to think about that. So I speak to the teens and to the children. We're asked to prepare for our future just as you would prepare for camp. You know, if you're going to go to camp, you're going to go, hey, what clothes do I want to take? When are we going down? What activities are we going to do? You're going to think about it and plan for it. And I know your parents help you with that. And then the parents, you know, we're asked to prepare for things, for example, like the Feast of Tabernacles. And so how well have we done? Did we register for the feast? Did we reserve housing for the feast? Have we saved our second tithe faithfully? Have we sent in our tithe of the tithe if we had extra? So whether we're preparing for camp or the Feast of Tabernacles, that is just a small step in getting ready for the kingdom of God. If we're not willing to do those small steps, I don't think we're going to make the bigger steps that God has asked of us. Let's conclude in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4 and verse 4. I have Revelation 4, but I think I mean Revelation 3, 4 through 5. Yeah, Revelation 4, verse 4. So this is written to a church, but we have to think about that we all have things to learn here. And so whether it was written to the Ephesus or the Sardis era or our era, brethren, we need to listen to God's reminders here. He says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He concludes with, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, brethren, as we think about that, as we consider what God has set before us, to literally join the family of God, to have a crown, that we are invited into that family, and that we can be with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. We can all be with one another for eternity in this perfect realm. So, brethren, we must be willing to work on our faults and on our shortcomings, to be willing to look at ourselves closely so that we don't have to go through some things that we might otherwise have to. Now, my grandson saw some news that made him wonder, and we've all done that at times, but we need to go beyond that. We can't just wonder when the great tribulation will come. We need to continue to ask ourselves, how well am I doing in getting ready for the great tribulation, for the times ahead? How well am I getting ready to stand before God and be judged? Because prophecies of the end time will be fulfilled. We know they're coming. I think we all believe who are sitting here that God's prophecies are accurate. All the ones in the past have fallen in place exactly as he said. The ones in the future, we have no reason to doubt, will be the same. So may we continue to endure by preparing with all our heart, by watching world news, but also watching our own lives to see where we step out of line, and with God's help and strength to continue to correct our course, to transform our life so that we are walking the path that Jesus Christ walked. God is asking us to focus on his words. And those words, as we read, are light. They will show us the way to fulfill our potential for being children of God. So when our master returns, will he find us so doing?